Welcome once again to the American Horror Story Podcast, brought to you by Bald Move. You can find out everything we do on baldmove.com. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
And we're talking about, of course, the fifth season of American Horror Story, Hotel. This is episode 509, She Wants Revenge.
Yep.
She wants to fucking tear you apart.
Right.
Call back to the first some of the music selections from the first episode of the season. What did you think of this episode?
I like this episode.
I felt like it was Back to the Future 2. Where kind of we thought like we were in a certain timeline, and then, you know, Doc shows up at the end with his DeLorean and says, "Great Scott, Marty, what about the kids? You forgotten about the kids?" Or I guess it would be Murphy. "Great Scott, Murphy." And we jump in and we go far into the future, 2015, where we are reunited with the kids. And we're seeing how the pack of the Lost Boys and a few girls are running around fucking things up. Honestly, that was the least my least favorite part of the episode.
The kids?
Yeah, because
I wish they never created
plot.
The kids.
It's an Alex plot. Yeah. And as far as I can tell, it was created for two purposes: to make a statement on vaccination and to give Alex something to do. One of those goals is worthy. I'll allow you to imagine which one it is.
Yeah.
And one of them was not. And you know, I feel like that. Your girl continues to just phone this thing in.
Hey, I admitted episodes ago that I wasn't on board with it anymore. But yeah, other than that, I think it was a pretty good episode. A lot of moving pieces finally coming together, and Elizabeth is starting to lose her fucking mind.
Yeah, no, she's you know, it's interesting when they do, like, so many characters have these voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a fun little game that anytime a character has an internal monologue in American Horror Story, you pretend like it's just you're reading out of a page of Ryan Murphy's diary. And her, like, the one she began with is like, you know, men fundamentally age differently than women. Their hearts grow bigger and ours shrink. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is not bioscience.
It's not true, is it?
I don't think so.
I figure I would have heard something about that by now.
But, you know, it might be something that a woman that was raised in the turn of the 20th century might believe to be true. She read it in the 1918 edition of Cosmo.
Yeah. the same kind of person that actually makes you think that even if your heart really was shrinking, you would have less of a capacity to love.
Well, I do hold that to be true.
Do you?
You have a shriveled black heart, and how much love can you really give? I mean, it's the Grinch. It's the Grinch physics. It's the Grinch physics, you know.
Right.
Anytime you start loving, your heart grows. It doesn't shrink. What the fuck? But yeah.
So,
anyway.
So now that we've started talking about that, she opens with that monologue, and she breaks into the now open, boarded up hallway wing, and she finds all of Valentino's things. Of course, he would have a suitcase full of pictures of himself.
Of course.
Of course. And she continues the monologue. She surrounded herself with fools and flatterers, enemies without and enemies within. And she decides she's going to build something impenetrable.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you really haven't. You're just a selfish rage beast.
Yeah.
That has fucked over everyone who's really cared about you.
Yeah.
And I get it. The other thing I don't understand is that they're pivoting this. So I guess that the story of the Countess, why the fuck are we calling her the Countess?
Why does everyone call her the Countess? If you are Liz Taylor in the bar, sure, I see a reason. If you're Will Drake, who's about to marry her, and you're speaking to your son, you call her the Countess?
Yeah, like...
And what is she the Countess of?
Does Ritchie call Madonna Madonna?
Why would JPM call her the Countess? When he only knew her as a woman, like a struggling actress.
That he raised from obscurity?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. I guess that's what I don't like, but maybe this is a point Murphy's making, as I figure that, like, you know, Elizabeth is this very young, naive girl who fell in, like, your first infatuated love with someone. And then they turned you into a vampire and mysteriously disappeared before you understood what an asshole they were. So you've carried this torch for like 100 years. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter because it's still that like 18-year-old girl infatuated intensity.
Right.
And so maybe he's making a point about immature. I don't know, but it's like, I don't buy this love story of the ages.
I agree. So Will, Drake, and the Countess mm-hmm. are in the hotel lobby discussing the wedding details 2 days before the wedding.
Sure.
Just so you know.
Sure. And I'm... to no one's shock, Will Drake wants a fabulous wedding.
Right. So Elizabeth says, no, I just want something quiet and... What's the word she uses? Something low-key. And he says, no, we're just going to be the party of the year. And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. And he's like, you're right. I didn't really plan this out very well. So all I have time for in these 2 days is to make you a dress. I'm not even going to get upset about the timeline here.
So here's the thing. They made it seem like that he was afraid that the inspiration that the Countess has given him was going to dry up if she makes her into a show pony.
Right.
But I don't think they've done a really great job of showing that Will Drake is much more successful now. I guess they've had a couple throwaway scenes where him and what's his kid's name? Decolletage?
Lachlan.
There it is. I knew it was something weird. Him and his son Lachlan come in and like, oh, he's back from France. And, you know, we did this fashion show. But they're not, like, I don't know what I want. I don't want, like, some, you know, black and white spiraling newspaper. Will Drake back on top. Show suit fashion. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But
stops
like,
making pants with weed imprints.
Right. Like, I thought he was still kind of in the doldrums of non-inspiration.
Yeah, I thought it was post-wedding is when the magic happens.
But, yeah, so I don't understand why. I don't know. Will Drake is such a nothing of a character, and I think this actor is kind of a nothing of an actor that... whatevs, but that's, I'm kind of disconnected from this plot.
Right. So, Elizabeth approaches Liz and, the full cat claws come out.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a complimentary cat?
It loses a lot without the visuals of me extending my claws one by one.
But... yeah. You'll just have to imagine it. So I think this is my favorite part of the episode.
Oh my God. I blacked out when it first happened.
So the interesting part about this is that we learn that Elizabeth doesn't show up in cameras.
What?
Well, Liz says...
no, she doesn't want to be filmed because...
she said she's camera shy, I took to mean, I don't know, some sort of vampire. You can't see yourself in a mirror.
Well, I interpret it as she wants to stay in the shadows because she is an immortal, non-aging vampire, and that arises suspicion. So, like, you have to kind of... you know, her dream is to turn Cortez into a fortress that she never has to leave because then she can live forever without any threats.
I guess that makes sense. Except that that's not really how the world works.
No, especially hungry L.A. real estate developers. Yeah. They're going to let you have your fortress forever.
Right.
No fortune will last 100 years.
So,
especially if you keep giving it to Bernie Madoff, you dumbass.
Yeah. So she says, get the flowers here by Wednesday. And Liz says, fuck you. And Elizabeth says, well, Tristan never really loved you. And so Liz just loses her mind. And she says... I'm going to let you do it because I know you love doing it.
You can buy your own damn flowers.
Flowers.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
It's just Zena Joe Hair. Got, like,
honestly, this is a Liz, a wounded Liz showcase is pretty awesome. Like, her speaking up at the wedding later on is awesome. She's just pretty much awesome. I don't know. I feel like that she's going to be a linchpin in the downfall of the Countess somehow.
I agree.
Because it looks like on the surface that Team Anti-Countess is falling to shit. Now, I guess that could be a long con, which we'll probably talk about more. But, you know, if Ramona is sidelined and Donovan is back in the puppy love mode, that leaves Iris and Liz to save the day. Fortunately, I think they're capable of it.
Yeah. Or just Liz. Liz needs a spinoff or to inherit the hotel or something.
Something.
So... Elizabeth is getting a pedicure and also watching the news because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And she learns about the vampire children wreaking havoc across the city as Alex is serving her blood. And that's another straw on this camel's back. And she has, and then we see that she has a private eye that somehow found Valentino staying at a shitty motel.
Sure. Well, I mean, they don't have a lot of money.
How do they have any money?
I think they had, they probably had, because they were about ready to leave the country, to flee the country. So I assume they had a lot of, you know, 1920s money.
I tell you what, if you give me 1920s dollar bills, I will think they're fake and I will not give you anything.
I don't know that the people, and plus the other thing is, like, aren't those worth money? Like, you could take it to a pawn shop and be like, look at these silver certificates. You know?
So if someone just hands you a stack of cash, you're just going to assume that maybe it's worth something, maybe it's not, maybe it's still good in circulation?
I don't know. Does 1920s dollars...
A motel owner? 1920s dollars are actually worth some money.
Because I actually have a few of the old silver... when the money was still backed by silver, and they look almost identical to the dollar of today, but they say, like, a silver certificate or something like that.
Oh, I see.
But, no, I just figured that they
Maybe they got the money off the Australian tourists.
There you go.
That makes sense. All the people they killed.
We'll just wait on the docks and say, hey, you need some money? But, I mean, I'm sure they had a few thousand dollars. They were wealthy people, and that's enough to put you up at a flea bag motel for wherever, for however long you need to be. Sure. Now, one thing is, like, did the Countess make some kind of connection between Bartholomew running loose for some amount of time and these children running amok?
No.
Because
there is no connection there.
Okay. Well, I know there wasn't, but I wondered if after several episodes later, confronted Iris about it today, and I wonder if there was a dual purpose of this. Because the news thing was to tell Alex that the children are rampaging out there, but I wonder if the the Countess got anything out of it, too.
It seemed that, I mean, she obviously knows that one of the vampires that she's created has created all these children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess that means that Alex has got some revenge coming her way, but she's got some other things to deal with first. Well, put that together?
But Elizabeth is true blue for, I mean, because Alex brought back Bartholomew, so I feel like that Alex is very solid in the Countess's graces right now.
Yeah.
Like, she sees her as the linchpin. She's going to be the new...
Sure, you can give Alex a free pass on having done it, but you still have to deal with the problem of all these children. So, yeah. So, she goes to Valentino's motel room, and they kiss, and I don't know. I presume that they had sex.
Probably.
But we smash cut back to her at the hotel that night having sex with Donovan.
Silent screen star, sloppy seconds.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why is she doing this?
Oh, I thought you meant why the sloppy seconds. Well, because presumably they had sex and now she's having sex with Donnie.
I guess that makes sense. So she's wearing those Ankh earrings again. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point that out. It's an interesting detail. So Donovan tries to make her commit to him and only him forever. And she does. Then she reveals that she's going to be married on Wednesday, but it's going to be a rich widow on Thursday.
So this is significant because she's always, it seems like her pattern is to make her lovers swear fealty to her, but she's never done it in return.
Yeah, well, like, it's a manipulation technique.
Yeah, I feel like that's like understood that if like you're you know, pledging your immortal love to someone that they're giving it in return. But this is the first, I mean, do you feel like that's what he... Do you think this is different? Because Donnie just comes across stupid.
If we want to get into semantics, she's technically not... Well, no, that doesn't make sense because Valentino's still out there. I was going to say, she's not with anyone else right now. If she kills Will, Tristan's dead, Ramona's going to be
dead.
No, that's
the thing. Like, and then Valentino's floating around out there.
Valentino's out there. So, yeah, she's just... Donovan's going
to
die.
I mean, Donovan's an idiot, but I guess they're trying to make a point about the addiction because he also said, you know, that he compares it to being addicted as well later on. So I feel like that, yeah, you can't rationally criticize his actions because they're not an actions of a rational agent. They're an actions of a person seeking a high.
Right. So we're back down to the lobby in what has to be the weirdest scene of this whole episode. And not because of the nature of it. But the porn film crew comes in under the name Stormcock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that the blonde woman looks exactly like Cecily Strong? Or yeah. It could be her sister.
Yeah.
Thought that was interesting.
Like the less funny, but slightly more...
like a sluttier Cecily Strong.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Her slutty younger sister.
Yeah. So, Iris...
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not at all. It's just a way of describing her. So Iris decides that she's going to be a crusader for what's good and just, and she wants to be a Dirty Harriet.
What I thought is funny is because she's lauding the old school pornography when you still had scripts and sets and a plot, and she specifically cites Deep Throat as this cultural touchstone, which I think is right. I feel like that a lot of otherwise respectable people saw Deep Throat at the theater because it was this kind of cultural thing. You know, it was okay to see it. And I don't know why. I don't understand all that because I wasn't alive back there. That's just what I understand.
Hmm.
But what I've come to appreciate about Deep Throat is that its actress, Linda Lovelace, is like one of the poster women for women that are abused by the porn industry. So like Linda, her husband forced her into pornography. And, like, she did some... I mean, she claims in her book that she did some of these scenes at gunpoint.
Oh, my God.
She was forced to engage in bestiality in some of these four. I mean, it's just a really degrading experience. And does... my question is Murphy aware of that? And then this is kind of a double reverse subversive take on a kind of prudish view of pornography or changing cultural taste in pornography? Or is it a kind of a tone-deaf critique of, like, oh, in the glory days of... pornography, you know, the things were better and, you know, scripts made everything
especially awesome. Since they're making these people out to be like complete idiots.
And I get it. Like there are porn stars who are taken advantage of and that don't have great lives and gets addicted to drugs. But there's also seems like
this could just be what's it called? What's the porn YouTube?
You jizz?
No.
You porn? They're all takes on you and porn.
Yeah, something like that. That could just be one of those.
There's an ex-hamster, I think. That's the one that breaks the mold. I'm going to be a hamster, but I'm going to throw an X in the title, so it's...
All right.
Yeah.
X-Tube, that's what it's called. Thanks for that.
But she's like saying, like, oh, it teaches girls to screw like that, and boys that girls want to screw like that. And I'm like, well, what if you're a girl who does want to screw like that?
Yeah.
Or what if you're a boy who wants to be more sensitive? I mean, like, what the fuck? Why are we putting people in the boxes?
Yeah, exactly.
And shaming them for their sexual urges. Like, yeah, you shouldn't do anything you don't want to do, but you also shouldn't feel bad because you do want to get, you know, your brain's fucked out or rim job or whatever. Yeah.
Agreed. Donovan catches her in the act of cleaning up these murdered bodies because she left the door open, because it's a super smart thing to do.
And the other thing is, like, imagine, so again, haha, this is Ryan Murphy's diary, or a drunken ramble at a Hollywood party. But don't you think that this scene of Iris stalking these people once it's established that they're pornographers and killing them would have been worked way better without the monologue?
Yeah.
Like,
just that music was pretty good.
Plus, we would be able to imagine why she's doing it.
Yeah.
And try to figure out how this fits in her character ourselves rather than having kind of a weird passive-aggressive political rant.
Because it's the same thing she's done all along. Like, yeah. When she put the Max Greenfield character in room 64 and then he was killed immediately by Sally.
Yeah.
She's selecting these people for reasons to kill them. Only this time, she's doing it herself in person.
Right.
So we already understand.
And, like, you know, these people seem like they're douchey. Like, maybe that's a big problem. If they were, like, a more professional, respectful porn crew, they wouldn't be in this predicament.
Right. So Donovan says that it seems like he doesn't know. He wasn't aware of Iris even being a part of the plan before. I don't know. I thought they were all in cahoots together, but they don't.
No,
seem
I think
to
Donnie
be
just
page.
Is impressed. I think he's like, "Yo, mom, you're so based because she's not killing people."
Yeah. So Iris tells him about Elizabeth confronting her about Bartholomew.
And she
escaping.
Had to give up Ramona.
So at this point, when Elizabeth came to Iris's room, this is the same night that Alex gave her son back.
How do you know that?
Because she's wearing the exact same dress.
Iris.
No, Elizabeth. She's wearing the same dress she was.
And you don't think she would repeat costumes?
No.
But that's never. Like, if that's the only indication that this is the same night, I tend to not believe it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it as canon because she's wearing the same dress and she's never done that before.
All right. I am not. I think it,
all right, got it.
Reversing time introduces way too many problems into the flow. That's my gut feeling.
So at this time, Iris pins the whole thing on Ramona, which alerts Elizabeth that she's back in the picture. And Donovan says that I'm just pretending to be with Elizabeth and I'm going to use her so that we can get in close. And then he discovers that the male porn star lead, is there a word for that? Actor.
Stunt cop.
is naked in the bathroom still, so he grabs him up. We are now in Will Drake's penthouse suite, and he and Lachlan are getting dressed for the wedding. Right? Is that the same day? Yeah, they're getting dressed for the wedding.
It's the next day, right?
Yeah. So he says that, son, you're old enough now to understand how your dad likes to have sex. I like men and women. And he says, what really matters is finding a person who understands you. Miss Evers appears out of nowhere. Lachlan says that he's met her before and she's the laundress.
She's cool.
I can vouch for her. And she says, you can't marry her. And she tries to warn him that he's going to die. And he refuses and kicks her out. And she's a flashback to JPM just gushing over Miss Evers and how he would totally marry her, except
she's
there's this countess ugly. And she's kind of a goddess. And
you're just homely. Yeah. And I have in my notes, ha, 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 I was right.
Fuck you.
I'm telling you, man, if I say there's sexual tension between two characters,
well,
I am
don't
a person
agree.
To be listened to.
I don't agree. I don't think that's where they should have went with it.
Oh, wow. We need to have one of these famous...
I just think, as being a single mother, I think she would just work better as a motherly character. Like how she's coming to Will Drake here to warn him about the perils of marrying this woman. It's exactly what an overbearing mother would do.
See, I think so she's doing this... I think she's doing this to... This is now... No, she's not doing this because she gives a shit about Will Drake. She's doing this to fuck over the Countess.
I agree. Exactly. I'm just saying it would be consistent. She says, well, in that case, I will smile at your death and I will relish the opportunity to clean the blood and shit out of that fancy formal wear. And we'll see if she gets a chance.
Miss Evers, I knew she's into blood play. I did not know she's into scat play. Kind of changes my opinion on her.
You know what? Cleaning sheets is cleaning sheets. So Elizabeth is back in the opened up ward. What should we call this? I need a better way to describe this.
It's the chamber. She refers to it as the chamber.
The chamber. Okay. So she's got a contractor there and she wants to make a chamber officially out of it. And she's not really getting her way when JPM appears and he talks a contractor into doing it and doing it fast because he has a penis.
Plus, it's just steel, and you can just, like, swing something up there and weld and rivet and, you know.
Yeah, just man words and things.
I was born in the steampunk age. We can do this quite easily and stylishly. We'll have goggles and leather helmets and sniper rifles made out of brass tubing and robots that smoke.
So the contractor leaves, and he's going to get to it when she turns around and just slaps the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's got to be so satisfying.
I love how she briefly shifts in the gun mole mode. She's like, you screwed up, Jimmy. You screwed up.
You screwed up. So then he begs her not to leave, and she says, well, these improvements better be done by tomorrow, and we'll see. Any other thoughts about that?
No, I still want to know more about their contract, because there's something like kind of interesting about this metaphysical deal they've got going on.
Yeah, the one dinner a month.
Yeah.
And how late does the night go? That's what I really want to know.
Well, if it goes by a spooky law, it will end at midnight.
Because we know that Elizabeth...
The last stroke of midnight.
...is obviously down to have sex with him. She's having sex with everybody, so...
She's not down to have sex with JPM.
You don't know that.
No, I feel like
some of the time she visits him, she seems to be in a good mood.
Yes, but I do think their relationship is more of a dominatrix type, that she is deliberately, you know, withholding the guy. I feel like that.
Do you think so? Because I think that the nature of a serial killer in general is to gain control.
I get it.
So it seems like you would be the one who's more into controlling.
But if I learn anything from 8 years of watching Mad Men, it's that men that have a lot of control that they show externally in their lives, inwardly want to be controlled and be submissive.
I see.
Uh-huh.
So Donovan brings Ramona, the porn dude, and he admits he's addicted to Elizabeth and he's not strong enough to deal with this by himself, and he knows the power she has over him, selling this perfectly. He says, I slipped a whole bunch of GHB into her drink and I knocked her out. And he sells Ramona pretty hard on this idea. And at this point, I was thinking that with the blood that they were drinking, that Donovan had actually slipped a bunch of GHB into the porn dude.
I thought, so. Yeah, you had really sold me on this idea.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
I did, yeah.
You feel like that was a missed opportunity?
Honestly, I thought it was cooler than what eventually happened, which was just a standard fake out with the Countess.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess on the plus side, Murphy got another 10 minutes of drama out of it.
Right.
But no, it's one of those things where, like, your idea was so cool as it was happening that I got super excited for it.
Yeah.
You know, and then when it finally ended up as just, you know, the Countess laying there and she springs up, it's like, I'm like, oh, this isn't as cool as what Cecil
yeah.
came up with.
Especially at the end of the scene, they both drink and I'm like on the edge of my seat, like, does he have a Princess Bride immunity to GHB?
Right, right, yeah.
And they're drinking and she says, to revenge. And it's the way he says, to revenge. Like,
it's an ironic. We should make a deal with each other that we will not build up each other's expectations for American Horror Story.
Okay.
Because it's just nothing good can come of it.
Agreed. Ramona, in the 20 years that she was gone after Elizabeth, went home to her parents. So we're back to 1992, that's right. And she stayed with her parents for a few months while her mom fed her soul and her father set her straight.
Chicken blood for the broken soul or whatever it is.
Chicken blood for the vampire soul. And
now we're going back to her third season roots when she was the voodoo priestess.
You're right. So her father is showing some signs of dementia. She asks to take him to the doctor and he stubbornly refuses to do that because...
Gotta take turns being sick in this family.
Yeah.
Your mama's a selfish bitch. She's hogging all the sick time.
Rude. So, you know, she redeems herself by dying. And her... so her father can officially just lose his shit.
Yeah. Which so, he promptly does.
This made me really sad.
Dude, yeah. Because, like, you know, if you listen to my podcast long enough, you've heard the tidbit that my grandfather died after a prolonged bout with Alzheimer's. And it's the fucking worst. And this... in a nice little 10-minute vignette explains why it sucks so bad. Except for, in my experience, in you know, really deep Alzheimer's patients, there's a lot of anger there, too, because they're a grown-ass person and they're losing their mind.
Well,
and
he showed it here when she offered to take him to the doctor.
I guess it's a little bit, but that's heavier than Murphy wants to get. But no, I was unexpectedly traumatized, so well done, Murphy.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing, is like, I don't know why this vampire blood that gives, you know, immortality can fix any bone can't fix brain problems. I can't just clean the plaque off that and those neurons. But whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Just because something's a near magical cure doesn't mean it has to be a literally magical cure.
I always wonder that. Like, if it makes you into your most perfect self, would you have, like, 0% body fat? Would all of your scars disappear? That would make sense, right?
Yeah. I like the True Blood where you're frozen in time from when you were turned.
Exactly. You can't, in True Blood, in the books, I don't know if I ever actually address this in the podcast, because we'll have to go back and do another True Blood podcast. But in the books, you couldn't even change your hair. And same with Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, well, they do that in the show of True Blood.
You said doo-doo.
They do. But I guess also it doesn't cure chicken pox. So there are limits to the glampire virus.
Yeah.
Again, men broken bones and healing super
measles,
rapidly.
Right? Yeah.
But chicken pox, smallpox, measles, and Alzheimer's and baseline dementia they can't do shit about.
Yeah. So
I thought her dad, that there's one of the reasons that the thing worked is because he was able to economically introduce himself as this loving, supportive father who instantly took his daughter back, even though he hasn't seen her for 30 years.
20?
Right. Okay, I thought he said 30. From the 70s to 90, yeah, from 72 to 92, that'd be 30 years.
72 to 92?
Yeah, 78. No, you're right. Sorry, I can't do math.
It's okay.
So he hasn't seen him for 20 years, and he's just such a warm individual, because he only had like 30 seconds of screen time before he started going into, President Grandpa mode. And he did a really good job. So when she finally had to off him, it was kind of horrific.
Right.
And I feel really bad for poor Ramona.
I agree. So, yeah, you just skipped over all that. She gets broken into and murdered. She turns him. And they stay together for another 20 years. She takes care of him.
That's the thing that was really horrific. Is like, it ages you in dog years to take care of someone like this.
Yeah.
And to have it, to do that for 20 years. Oh, man. Oh, man. And just an image of her, like, feeding him blood, bowls of blood and whatnot. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Watching MASH reruns, terrible.
For 20 years?
For 20 years.
MASH is a good show, but man, I couldn't even watch Breaking Bad on nightly repeat for 20 years.
So she comes home one night and sees that what looks like the exact same burglars decided to hit this house again, and her father killed them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with this because becoming a vampire doesn't give you super strength or super agility, anything like that that's been established.
Yeah.
How did he kill these guys?
I don't know.
When he doesn't know what's going on.
I don't
know. Like, they got it. They killed him the first time pretty easily.
I guess.
But suddenly he can, like, tear their flesh out and...
I don't know. Because they make it clear that these vampires don't have, like, superhuman strength or the ability to even naturally slice open somebody. They have to have a weapon or something.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's creepy and horrific and kind of serve you guys right. So I don't judge it too harshly.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
And maybe they underestimated
having
him.
Having dementia doesn't make you savage. You don't just start tearing people's throats out with your teeth because you're hungry. But I don't know. Never had dementia or been a vampire.
Yeah, if you're a demented glampire, watch out. That's the key to unlocking the beast.
So Ramona doesn't quite understand what's going on with them either. So gives him a Xanax and drowns him.
Old man strength? He's got old man strength and dementia and glampire. That's the key. Any two of those things isn't enough to unlock the super strength mode. But all of them together, watch out.
Yeah. So present day, Ramona's pouring up blood for them. And she says the internet changed everything. My movies are being streamed for free.
Yeah.
And I'm offended by that.
Yeah. Where's my check? Where's my check?
And so this is what drove her to take revenge on Elizabeth. And then that's when they have the suspicious, suspicious toast. That word just escaped me.
Suspicious toast? What the fuck are you talking about?
When they clink glasses and he says, revenge.
Okay, gotcha.
So Alex is posted up outside of this kid's house because it's just that easy to figure out what's going on.
Just follow the trail of blood and stuff.
And bodies, yeah. Alex sees a pizza delivery guy go in and doesn't come out. So she slips in, sees that the sunroom is piled with dead bodies of parents. She finds the delivery guy on the floor being drained by the kids. And the little girl, Madeline, says, I don't want to drink blood. I don't want to stay here anymore. I'm over it. And one of the kids, whose names I'm not going to bother to learn, reveals that they killed all of their parents so they could get away with it. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call him Rufus after the Peter Pan Hook movie.
Yeah, so not only are there a bunch of children missing, but there's also a bunch of children and their parents missing.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect crime. So
right, that's all you got to do. Hear that, kids? If you want to get away and live like a Peter Pan lifestyle, step one, murder your parents.
Yep. That's it. And then done. Nobody's there to look for you.
Right. Just don't make the classic mistake of murdering a pizza boy.
No.
Because the pizza company will follow up on them. Not because they give a shit about the delivery boy. They want their 20 They want their 20 bucks for the pie. That's what they're going to be following up for.
Yeah. In 30 minutes or less, or you get a get out of jail free card.
Sure.
So she says, come with me to the hotel. I can take care of you. And they politely decline. Why didn't they leave the little girl with Alex? Or why didn't Alex fight harder to take that little girl?
Because I don't think...
Or the other kids that didn't want to be
these kids are armed, and I don't think she thought she could take 13 of these punks.
Being a vampire gives you super killing power.
No, she's not an old man nor demented. She's just a vampire.
Right. She's got stupid face. So Donovan and Ramona show up to Elizabeth's room. And she, Ramona slinks up to kill Elizabeth, and Elizabeth does her routine. And he throws Ramona down. Iris.
She acted like a cat threatened with a squirt bottle.
Yeah. Iris locks Ramona up in the body cage within this ward. I've already forgotten.
The chamber.
The chamber. So Donovan has officially. Or it's revealed now that he has bought back into her bullshit. He is addicted and there's no hope for him. And Ramona wakes up and tells him that you're very pretty, but you're very, very stupid.
And honey, you're very, very pretty. can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What meta message is Murphy trying to say here that... about locking people you don't like into a room and hate watching them die.
I thought you were going to say that, were you going to ask me what he's trying to say about addiction?
Oh.
That they're hopeless? Because that's not great.
No, I don't think...
You can't trust an addict?
Well, yeah, no, I hold to that belief myself.
So what he's trying to say about hate watching people dying, I don't know. Is there a message to send there?
Well, I mean, like, you know, hate watch is something that's like talked about on the internet, and it's been like, you know, it's been a lot of debate on Bald Moves forums right now because, you know, me and Jim unfortunately had to take the brick
sensitive.
Bat. Hey, you know what? Me and Jim had to take the brick bat to two shows, one that we kind of like, I don't know, should know better by now, but one that we genuinely enjoy and we're disappointed by. And this whole concept of, like, hate watching is this modern thing, like, that you derive some kind of dark enjoyment from watching something sputter and fail and just be stupid. And does Murphy think that that's something that people do to his stuff? Is that something that he thinks is a cynical, joyless reaction? Is it something that he himself engages in? What is he trying to tell about the philosophy of hate watching?
I don't think that there's anything to be read into that besides it being a really funny way to describe watching Ramona die through your IP cameras.
Yeah, no, it was super funny. But I also think, like, if you take your big bad of the season, which increasingly is clear that Elizabeth is, if not JPM, maybe they're both equally monstrous, but making that be her hobby to sit around and hate watch something, I thought was interesting.
Elizabeth is back in Valentino's room, and they are talking about running away together. She's working on manipulating him out of his relationship with Natasha. And she has been paying...
I don't think she's manipulating him. She's just nakedly saying, if I murder her, is that going to be a problem? Is that a deal breaker for you?
You got to warm him up first, and that's where the manipulation comes in. So she has been paying off Natasha with a little black plastic card, sending her out shopping all the time.
It's that card that Kanye's always talking about.
So she... yeah. So Elizabeth does nakedly explain that she wants to kill Natasha, and they're going to do it tonight when she invites her over.
When you say nakedly explain, you're not saying it being explicit. She literally just shows her ass and says,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
Rudolph's like, whatever you say, lady, gotta have
gotta
that ass.
Dance.
Love that ass.
So she flounces off with her fur coat thing. And as Donovan watches in horror, but is still committed to the plan.
Yeah.
Elizabeth and Will Drake are married almost exactly the same way that JPM and Elizabeth were married at the bottom of the staircase. The what's the word for it? Is he a priest?
Yeah.
Is he just a...
JP? He's either JP or just a priest.
Yeah. So he asks if anyone has any objections. Liz hilariously does.
On many
levels.
She says,
don't mind her. She drinks. So they all decide to split up before she leaves for her honeymoon.
I do love I love Gaga's performance of being like just how artificial she is. Like, oh, my men and oh, my family. Oh, you're such a... You, of course you can go drink, darling, as your bar. And it's pretty good.
Yeah. So.
You said, wait a minute. Did you just uncover a plot hole that you then just filled while I was monologuing here?
No. She said that they're leaving for their honeymoon tonight. Natasha is also coming over the same night to unleash her murder plan. But
I think, I don't know.
But
that
also she's killed Will Drake by this time, so it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think she wasn't being honest when she says, I was going to kill you in France. But I mean, I think she was just saying some cold smack.
Well, yeah, she said, I'll wake up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows what her original plan is? We know how it worked out though.
Cause I don't think one of the reasons I think she wanted to be low profile is I think she wants as few as people to possible to register that they got married.
What is she going to do with Lachlan? What's the plan there?
Well, probably stow him in her Game Boy room.
Oh, what if that's how she circumvents the prenup? Everything goes to Lachlan. She keeps him.
As a reward. That might be. But wait a second. Here's the thing about the prenup. Does the prenup cover murder? Like, not murder, but if you just die, like, if, like, say we got married.
I guess that's true.
Perish the thought. Say we got married and we signed a prenup where it's like, you know, you get yours and I get mine in case of adultery or leaving or whatever. If it's in case of the spousal death, does that really still apply?
So it's not an issue of a prenup. It's an issue of your will, right?
I would think so. And I would imagine that his will would say that Lachlan gets everything. So you're probably still right no matter what happens.
Yeah. So if he designates Elizabeth as Lachlan's guardian, then she's got access to all of his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as you keep that kid around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's how it's going to go.
Okay.
But
that's part
we
of
did
the,
make an agreement that's not to get each other's expectations.
That's true. But that's also part of the will process is, like, who is the legal guardian of Lachlan? And I don't know that would just... Do you think there's going to be some kind of weird custody battle where Lachlan's grandparents are going to be like, oh, you're a hussy and you just took my son for the money and...
If this were the real world, absolutely. This is a famous fashion designer. There's going to be tons of people fighting over his
leftovers.
That's
what I'm feeling like, too. And also, we're wrong. It turns out there's three more episodes. They're going to take a break after next week, and in January, they're going to come back to be three more episodes, which yeah. I'm not. I was excited because I thought they would actually wrap things up in 10 episodes and not have the typical... I don't know. I'll withhold judgment, but the pattern I've seen is when there's always like one or I feel like everything that happens after Christmas is less relevant than what happened before Christmas.
Yeah.
So one of these days I'll wise up and just do a 10 episode season. But until that day.
So Elizabeth twists the knife in Liz again and gives her her bouquet and hopes that she finds her true love, which is just terrible.
I like how. Even though Liz will give her shit, she is still afraid of her. Like yeah. When the Countess stepped forward to the flowers, she like took a step back. Like, oh God.
Yeah. So Drake is in the hotel bar having a drink. And then JPM shows up to congratulate him. He says, me and the Countess are acquainted. He says that...
In the biblical sense.
Blended families are hard work. And he says, yeah, she really loves my son. And then JPM says, I wasn't talking about your son, and introduces him to Bartholomew. Elizabeth shows up and says, I was planning to kill you in Paris, but I guess I'll do it now because you were such a shit to my son and I will make you suffer.
This
immensely.
Guy that plays Will is so terrible. Everything he says in this scene where he's trying to show some anguish is just, that thing can't be yours. It's not human. Like... What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like the masculine version of Siri is what it is.
I remember seeing, from when we were shown the baby, it looked human with severe disformities.
Yeah. Right, but Will Drake, I mean...
Disformities.
I mean, I guess that's disformities. I think that Will Drake, I could roll with the idea that he's been around beautiful people for so long that he's just lost that kind of compassionate, like...
Right.
You know, this less beautiful thing is an affront to my humanity. Oh, get it away. Get it away. Memento mori. I don't want any of that. I'm going to be young and beautiful forever. Ah!
You're done.
Yeah.
So... Drake wakes up in, it's so funny, in my notes, I've called this thing so many different names, but he wakes up in Murder Hall to Ramona in her cage, and he helps her out before her thirst overtakes her, and she feeds on him. Miss Evers shows up to fulfill her promise, and all of this is being watched, or I'm sorry, hate watched by Elizabeth in her bathrobe on her bed. And my first thing is, did you see that Miss Evers didn't show up on the camera feed?
Oh, I did not notice that.
And also, it does a zoom in on Elizabeth's eye. It's like twitching and she's going fucking crazy. It's a nice bookend to how it opened on her other eye. Yeah. Opened on her left and closed on her right eye.
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll open on her third eye.
Her third eye.
This is wide open next episode.
Is that code for her vagina?
I got to say that Elizabeth promised that Will Drake will suffer immensely, and he gets eaten alive by Angela Bassett.
To be fair, he did shit his pants.
I don't know.
Miss Evers.
I just don't know that qualifies as suffering immensely. I mean, do you think getting eaten alive by Ramona Flowers is suffering immensely? I volunteer as tribute.
No, that's not bad.
Also, like, just from a tactical standpoint, why would Ramona, like, she can't be, like, thirsting to death already.
You'd think she would just sort of nibble on him a bit.
Well, I wasn't, because I was going to let one of the feedbackers bring up that point. But yes, that's also a valid concern. But also, vampires don't have super strength. Having two people brushing the door when they open it next is better than one. Like, I get it. If no one's come in another day or two, this is it. But...
How long has Ramona been locked up? Has it been a day?
I think so.
How hungry can you be?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've gone a whole weekend without eating just as a physiological experiment. Like, come on now.
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. You were starting to look pretty good.
I'm
starving.
I'm gamey. I'm gamey as shit.
Well, I guess I'll find out.
Nom, nom, nom. What else do you got? We got some feedback,
yeah.
All right, if you'd like to send us feedback, it's ahs@baldmove.com or on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. First email, I cannot use her name for reasons that will probably become obvious. I can't say if it's a man or woman. Let's go with a Deep Throat. Deep Throat says, I am an actor/actress, and in the last couple months, I've auditioned for American Horror Story a couple of times for this episode 509 and the next episode 510. I just thought you might find it interesting that just to even audition for the show, we had to sign non-disclosure agreements. We're not allowed to talk about auditioning for the project or any details of the role to anyone. A lot of shows are really big these days about making sure that people don't post anything to social media sites and to try to clamp down on spoilers and the like. The sides they gave us, parenthetically, they say, sides are the lines or scenes that casting directors give you to audition with, weren't even for the character that we were auditioning for. It seems like they are really trying to keep actors from spilling secrets onto the internet. And after all that, the part I auditioned for didn't even make it into the show. That goddamn Murphy.
I'm not even going to tell us the part.
Doing the old Deep Throat switcheroo. Says, also, since I'm an actor/actress, I live in L.A.
Pretty sure actor is the PC way to describe any actor.
Sure. To your question about L.A. nightlife, the bars in L.A. close at 2 a.m. On the weekend, most bars will definitely still be open to 2, but during the week, it's not a sure bet. Wine bars almost always close around 11, pussies, and the other bars close down between 11 and 1 if they are slow and don't have customers.
What do you do for the rest of the night? Like between 2 and 6 a.m.
Sob into your pillow.
Huh.
You can find a bar open till 2 any night of the week, but it can be kind of hit or miss. I happen to be a bartender too. Struggling actors/actresses need to pay the rent somehow. If I had to bet, it'd be bartender or waiter. Like that's from everything I know about the acting industry, which mostly comes from Hollywood, mostly comes from movies and television shows about struggling actors and actresses. That seems to be the stereotype.
I read this thing about maybe a coworker told me that there is a TV show, probably on Bravo, about a bartender who just happens to have, I don't know, a lot of spunk and personality and drama and famous people visiting the bar. So you should really turn that into something mysterious. Anonymous emailer. Drinkers. Yeah. American drinkers.
The one thing that really sucks in LA is late night food. If you're looking for a decent place to eat after 11, you're pretty much shit out of luck.
What?
Unless you want
the
Thai food.
The In-N-Out burger is not open all night?
That's what it says. It was one of my biggest disappointments after I moved here from the Midwest and made me long for the days of 3 a.m. trips to the Waffle House. I don't think people in LA eat. That's the problem. So especially after 11, they'll turn into gremlins.
I heard they don't have Steak and Shakes out in that side of the world.
That's probably true.
Can you believe that? These poor people.
I don't know.
They stop drinking early. They don't eat.
I think it's the In-N-Out. Was it the In-N-Out that I came back from San Diego raving about?
Yeah.
I would take that over Steak and Shake. It's like essentially a Five Guys done.
But if it's not
better.
Open all night, what are you going to take?
That's true. Steak and
no,
Shake
shit,
is open all night.
You're
going
to pick grass off the ground and eat that. Yeah. That's probably why. You're right.
Yeah. I don't see how Steak and Shake stays alive in like small towns. Like, you know, Batesville. We drive past. Batesville is in the no man's land between Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
Yeah.
They have an all night, 24-hour Steak and Shake. How the fuck is that a winning proposition?
They're paying their servers nothing.
Oh, well.
Their staff nothing.
That's depressing. Amy J said, didn't strike me until today. Thank you for that deep throat. If you have any other observations about the whole acting gig. I'm interested, specifically if you want to email us back, I'm interested in knowing what the sides are like. Like, if you're not reading lines for the character that you're being given, do they find like a character archetype that's close to that?
That would make sense. I mean, you want them to
like
represent
if you want to cast someone that's like, you know, a plucky, ambitious, brave leader girl, would you have them read lines from Princess Leia in Empire Strikes Back?
No, that's very specific.
No, I'm just saying, maybe, like, where did they? What do they do?
What if you just write something? You make something up specifically for an audition.
But it's got to have some relevance to the role they're playing, or else what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
So I'm just trying, like, what is an example of? I guess you probably couldn't give us word for word examples because that would out you too. But
yeah, anyway. But it's the difference between a Swedish woman or a here's a better example, a hipster lamenting the lack of kale in a hotel. Or you give them a line of a hipster lamenting the lack of kale in this particular restaurant. You can get close, I guess. But I don't know.
I would argue that is the character, though. It's just they're in a same character, different situation. Which, if that's what the person's talking about, fine, well enough.
We'll never know. The character never made it on the screen.
I don't know. I just want to see how deep this throat goes.
I also hope that I see this anonymous emailer, or I'm sorry, deep throat. In upcoming seasons or episodes, please let us know if you do so we can keep an eye out for you.
Yeah, well, except for as soon as Murphy listens to her podcast, he'll triangulate her appearance and then she'll never work in this town again.
It's an anonymous person. You keep assigning a gender to this person.
That is true. I have done that to this man. The strapping gentleman.
You're no good at this.
I apologize.
Please never tap him for secret agent work.
Nope. Because my secret identity will deep throat. That's the only thing I can think of. Amy J said, it didn't strike me until today how much this season has reminded me of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Take the two protagonists, Lady Gaga and Frank Infurter, two sexed up, sassy, beautiful creatures, both possessing of otherworldly qualities, amass a consistent following of devotees and lovers, only to see their created universes start to crumble around them. In a scene of Rocky Horror, Columbia, one of Frank Infurter's longtime devotees, finally snaps and gives this little speech. My God, I can't stand any more of this. First you spurn me for Eddie, and then you throw him off like an old overcoat for Rocky. You chew people up, and then you spit them out again. I loved you. Do you hear me? I loved you. And what did it get me? Yeah, I'll tell you. A big nothing. You're like a sponge. You take, 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 and drain others of their love and emotion. Yeah, well, I've had enough. Does this not sound like a pitch-perfect description of the Countess in any one of her instances of moving from lover to lover? Given that Ryan Murphy did a whole Rocky Horror episode in Glee, I've got to think that this is completely intended. I didn't know that he did a Rocky Horror picture show episode of Glee,
yeah.
But it does seem like it's in his wheelhouse.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not at the end of the Countess story yet, but if the Rocky Horror simile continues, I'm going to predict that Gaga gets killed by two of her previously most trusted servants. My guess would be Liz Taylor and Donovan, just as Frankenfurter is killed off by Riff Raff and Magenta in the movie. So Donovan is a spurned lover now, but he's still, that's the thing, like, he's still addicted, and you can't trust him to make rational actions.
Right.
Even though, because, you know, he's been hurt and spurned before. And
I could see him
here.
Being the one to kill her.
How?
It's a crime of passion. Hmm. She finds him, or she finds her with Valentino, and he just loses it.
Yeah, I just feel like you can't rely on him. It's going to have to be, I feel like it's going to be Liz and Iris.
Okay.
And I want to see, I actually now, I like Iris enough that I kind of want to see them jointly running the hotel.
Right.
I completely forgot what a shitty mother she is, by the way. Iris has completely made me
forget.
She's
a terrible person. Didn't we remind ourselves in the first episode not to feel any sympathy for this person?
We did, but here we are.
Oh, I'm not on that train.
Okay.
I'm just reminding you of the vows you made.
I have held bad faith with my blood vows of old.
Is this our first Sally-free episode?
Ooh.
I didn't see her once.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Hef said, I liked it in this episode. We saw the return of the Vampocalypse kitties, and I actually thought it was really smart that although they've had some good ideas, killing off their parents in order to retain some level of autonomy, telling the same lie to the police at the school, they're still also kids, and they aren't thinking everything through entirely. I'm curious to see where this part of the story will go. It does seem like they're pushing Alex into a coven queen type of role now, although they've written her so inconsistently, she might only have been there to remind us that the vamp kids exist. Yeah, I don't know that I care to see her in some kind of... Vampires aren't covens, it's a nest, right? She's the nesting queen.
I don't think there's a word for it.
I thought that's what they called it in True Blood. There's a nest of vampires?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's not...
This is not True Blood. Vampire? What's the Anne Rice word for it? Is it a cluster? A murder? A clot? A clot of vampires?
Yeah, a clot. That's it.
A glitter of glampires. Glad to see they didn't forget Valentino and Aaron's nudie crush exist. This gives me hope for my possession theory. Now, if you're not familiar with his possession theory, to briefly summate it, I don't think that's a word, summate.
No. Nope.
It's an ancient Sumerian word for briefly explaining something. Hef says that the whole talk about John's black aura was JPM. He's been looking at people's auras for generations. He's trying to find someone that's particularly susceptible to swap souls with.
Yeah.
Because he really misses the physical sensation of killing people, and he wants to return to the mortal world and get free from the Stygian heap.
It would be interesting to see John Lowe doing that accent.
I guess that he now thinks... Well, let me finish his email. I'm curious to see where things go with Donovan and Iris and the Countess now, since Donovan seems to have found out her true intentions. I'm picturing a final lineup of Donovan, Iris, Angela Bassett, and Liz Taylor against Elizabeth, Valentino, March, and John, since that's how the lines seem to be shifting. The thing is March and John is a wild card, because JPM has reason to hate Elizabeth. I mean, he loves her, but he also... You know, she keeps spurning him for this Valentino dude.
Right.
And also, what do you think Liz is going to find out when she sees Tristan reborn? Ooh. Well, I guess preborn as Valentino. Like, is there going to be some... If we're talking about soul swapping, is there any way we can get Tristan into Valentino's body?
Here's the thing, is I don't think they're supposed to look exactly alike. I think that they're all supposed to be, as she explains in this episode, they're all a type.
Okay.
Right. All the brunette men in her life are supposed to be the same type. Tristan, I think, is supposed to look different, but the closest.
He's the closest, but he's also nothing like Valentino was in personality.
Exactly.
Which is why he's still a pale imitation.
Right.
Okay. Continuing with Nathan. By my countess, Gaga has had sex scenes in 8 out of 9 episodes. AHS is turning into the Lady Gaga sex tape, the TV show. And I'm fine with that.
I want to know how many times she's actually had sex on screen, though.
Hmm.
It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's had sex multiple times in single episodes.
In this episode.
And also, like, it's pretty explicit. Like, yeah. There was, like, an interesting...
They're both fully nude except for her pasties.
Yeah, and like there's just an interesting sheet. I feel like there's a sheet placement away from this being Skinemax.
Right.
And which, you know, again, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
As this long is on as at 10 o'clock on FX.
Lady Gaga's ass can't never go wrong. Can't hurt anybody.
Nikki P said, Ramona will probably be out of captivity by the midpoint of next episode. No subplot lasts long on AHS. It was pretty foolish to kill the food when she could drink a little here and there to make it last longer. I agree with that last point. And also, you know, strength in numbers. Glad they actually laid the ground. That's the thing. You can always eat Will Drake, but you can't uneat him.
Exactly.
Oh, do you think that she's going to turn him into a vampire?
To, like,
increase her strength.
Increase her strength?
I mean, like, you know, just to permanently increase her strength.
I don't know what she has to gain from that.
Hmm. Okay. Glad they actually laid groundwork for the reveal about March and the laundress instead of just springing it on us all of a sudden, a.k.a. Aaron was right. Actually, she didn't put that in there. I inserted it helpfully. Look at Murphy trying to build character. Indeed. Indeed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, he was putting these breadcrumbs out, and you people were stubbornly refusing to pick him up.
I still do.
All you Hansels and Gretels, I hope the witch shoves you into the oven. For being naughty children trying to eat her candy house. What kind of analogy is that? I don't know. I don't know. If you'd like to criticize my analogies or the way I covered this podcast, you can do so at ahs@baldmove.com or send in messages to forums.baldmove.com.
All you naughty children.
All you naughty children. Come into the oven. That is the forums.baldmove.com. And we'll see you next week before we take the long winter hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to say before then?
No. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.